I'm Johnny Mercer.
I'm Lauren Daigle.
This is Ingrid Michaelson.
I'm Neil Sedaka.
This is Jane Monheit. You're listening to The Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I am very excited to have saxophonist, composer, and founding member of Tower of Power, Emilio Castillo, with us on this episode of the podcast. Hi, Emilio. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Tower of Power has had such an amazing career thus far. 21 albums, 6 live albums, 6 compilations, if I counted right. 19 top 40 hits on Billboard's Hot 100 and their R&B charts. And you guys have appeared with or on so many artists' works. I don't want to take all the time to go down the huge roster, but I just want to pick out a few. The first one that I saw was Otis Redding. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, Otis Redding, I don't know how that got on the list. I think one of my old trumpet players might have done a session with him or something, but Tower of Power Horns never did an Otis Redding.
Okay, but you guys did tour with Little Feat on their Waiting for Columbus tour, and you're on that album, which is probably their most successful, right?
Oh, yeah, we're on most of their albums, actually, but that's the most successful one, Waiting for Columbus.
Okay, the last one I want to mention is Huey Lewis on the Four and Small World albums in the mid-80s, which I only throw that out because it's really so much different than so many of the Huey Lewis, so different than so many of the other ones. Did that just happen because you guys were geographically in the same area?
I suppose partly. Mostly they were fans of Tower of Power. And when they first came out, Huey and the guys came to a gig we played at Bill Graham's nightclub, the old Waldorf. And we were debuting some new material, and he came backstage. And, you know, it was at the time when all these bands were coming out with names like Devo and The Knack and stuff like that. And I had heard that name, Huey Lewis, in the news. And I thought, boy, that's a cool name, you know. And then he comes backstage and he's like, man, those songs are so great and blah, blah. He's going on, he's gushing fans of Tower of Power. And I go, oh, who's your band? And he goes, well, he said, my name's Huey. And I go, oh, is your band Huey Lewis in the News? He goes, yeah. And I go, oh, yeah, cool name, you know. And then we were doing some recording at CBS, I think it was. Or, no, the Automat Studios in downtown San Francisco. And they were across the hall. And they had this song called Doing It All for My Baby. No, at the time it was Hope You Love Me Like You Say You Do. And also Working for a Living. They said, you know, we think it would sound great with horns. When you're done with the session, would you come over and try to put some horns on? And we did. Started a friendship. Every so often, if they're around, we'd go sit in with them. And the more we did it, you know, they really liked the excitement level when we came and sat in. And so pretty soon they asked us to go on the road with them, and we wound up recording the live album. And they wound up doing one of my songs on the Four album. And we're very good friends. Huey was really instrumental in sort of bringing Tower Power out of a dark period. You know, it was the early 80s, and people looked at us like we were dinosaurs. And anybody that was in the industry over 5 years, you know, they were old people. But Huey, he publicized us all over the world. And very good friend and a big fan.
So you guys have done all of this, but no Christmas music until now. Why a Christmas album now?
You know, Doc has been on me for years to do a Christmas recording. And, you know, we always think, yeah, we should do it. But you really have to plan ahead for those kind of things. And you got to do it way, way, you know, ahead of time. And we tour all the time, you know. And for some reason, we just never got around to it. And then I wanted to do some more recording. And my manager says, you're going to record and you're going to do a Christmas record. I was like, what? And he goes, no, no, you're going to do it. And you're going to thank me for the rest of your life because it's the gift that keeps on giving. And we agreed to it and started doing it. And of course, you know, I work with Joe Vanelli now when I do my records. He's a great producer, great engineer, great musician. And he just took the record to another level.
And I had heard that at least the title track goes back a few years, maybe more than a few.
Yeah, we had this original Christmas song Doc and I wrote in the early 70s. And it was basically about missing his family at Christmas time. And it's called It's Christmas and I'm a Long Way From Home. So we used that for the title.
You guys started out in the 60s under another name. What was the band called then and how did you evolve to Tower of Power?
Well, before I met Doc, for about a year and a half, 2 years, we were called the Motowns. And that's because we really got into soul music. We were trying to pick a name. And my mother said, you know, if you're going to be a soul band, you should call yourselves the Motowns because you and your brother are from Detroit. Of course, that's the biggest soul city in the world. And so we were the Motowns. But, you know, we were like wearing suits and, you know, playing these little you know, soul nightclubs in the East Bay. And then Doc came in. He was the first hippie we ever met. And, you know, we wanted to get into the Fillmore Auditorium. We knew we'd never get in there with a name like the Motowns wearing suits. And so we got with the times and grew our hair long and started dressing like everybody else with bell bottoms and stuff like that. And, you know, got an audition at the Fillmore. And by God's grace, Bill Graham signed us to our first record deal on his record label, San Francisco Records, distributed by Atlantic.
And 21 albums later, It's Christmas, your first Christmas album, a couple originals, lots of songs we all know. With the background of Motown and all of the jazz and funk over the years, you must have had a long list of songs that you were thinking about putting on this record, right?
Yeah, I mean, we entertained every possibility. We got together as a band with Joe Vanelli as well, and we all talked about it. And, you know, there are certain things that, you know, we were looking to do. We wanted to diversify the beat, the rhythm. We wanted to have some, you know, real soul and some real, you know, classic holiday type music. We wanted to do something for the Jewish people. I was hoping to do something for the Latinos as well, but we didn't get around to it, but we'll probably do that later. You know, we came up with a list and we started hacking it out, and this is what we came up with.
I guess it's whittling that down is kind of like whittling down what you're going to play when you go out on the road. You know, there are some that everybody expects. What is hip? Don't Change Horses, So Hard to Go, You're Still a Young Man. For your current tour, the Holidays and Hits tour, you do that. Do you do the whole Christmas album? Do you have to pick and choose what you're going to play from it?
No, we have to play Tower Power hits. That's why it's called Holiday Hits Tour. And so we picked six songs. Last year, we worked up six songs. Last year, live, we put four in the set. This year, we have six. And we intersperse them throughout the set.
Did I hear right that you guys still average around 200 shows a year?
You know, 200 days away from home. And, you know, some of those days are travel days or off days on the road. But, yeah, we're gone 200 days a year. And it's been that way for many, many, many years.
Wow, that's amazing. So you had said you wanted to go into the studio to record something else. And your manager said you were doing a Christmas record. What happened to what you wanted to record in the first place?
Well, we haven't done that yet. We will. I mean, we just recorded three albums over the last 4 years. You know, we did two studio albums and a live recording with a DVD, and we've been pretty busy. You know, and plus we're notoriously slow, so that's pretty good for us.
You mentioned you did the EP through your website, and by the way, this is one of the reasons I always tell people to support artists by buying from them. Go to towerofpower.com and check out the merch and get a special vinyl of It's Christmas, colored vinyl, by the way, which is very cool. But you did the EP last year, and then you filled it out to a full album this year. Is it too soon to talk about a follow-up Christmas album?
We won't do a follow-up Christmas album. What we will do is record a few cuts, you know, over time, you know. But we right now... You know, I'm in the middle of this Christmas Holiday and Hits tour, and going to get that done and take a month off, man, and try to recover. Then we'll decide how we're going to proceed.
So what's on that you can talk about? What's on your agenda for 2025?
You know, just pushing the envelope more globally. We still haven't been to South America, and that's a thorn in my side. You know, we had So Very Hard to Go when it was a hit. It was a number one record in Brazil for 13 weeks, and we've never played there, you know. And all these bands, I see them going there all the time. For some reason, we can't get arrested in South America. But we've been to Australia, New Zealand, Indonesia, all over Asia. We just got back from Europe, you know. So we're pushing that envelope. And we're also doing more and more gigs with symphonies, which is really a lot of fun. That's something that, you know, we had wanted to do for years and years. And again, this new manager that we have, who we love, his name's Ivory Daniel. He said, you know, what's on your bucket list? We have more for 2025.
Is there anything else on your bucket list that you can talk about that you're still hoping for Tower of Power in the coming years?
Well, I'd like to have the entire band do a track or two with some great artists. I've always wanted to perform with Sting. I remember I met him many years ago, and he told me that he used to have a Tower of Power clone band, and they played Don't Change Horses and Only So Much Oil in the Ground, and he was kind of praising those songs. I always thought it'd be great to do, you know, a remake of Only So Much Oil with Sting, but we'll see what plays out.
Very cool. What's the best way for people to keep up with Tower of Power? Is it the website?
Certainly the website, towerofpower.com, but we're on Instagram, Facebook, we're all across the board. You know, social media-wise, we got it covered, and they do a great job with all of that. So pretty easy to find out anything about Tower of Power.
Very cool. I've seen some pictures pass by in my feeds from the current tour on stage in different locations. It's always very cool to see. Thank you so much for taking some time in the middle of the tour to talk to us about the Christmas album, the tour, and other stuff to come. It's been great to talk to you.
Thanks, Ken.
And thank you so much for listening and helping us share some Christmas spirit and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. So you can click on that, find your favorite, click on over, and then subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.